Welcome once again to St. Monica's, to all of you and those of you who are joining us from around the country and around the world. And as I start out today, I want to tell you, I feel real compelled today to talk about some adult things. So if you have children with you that may be young and you don't want to hear that, feel free to step outside and you won't offend me or anything. And I'm really going to try to keep it at a level where we can understand it as adults and keep it on that level. I was traveling the last 10 days. I went to visit my parents in Illinois, and then I went to Notre Dame for a meeting. And as I was sitting in an airport, I had a seven-hour delay in Chicago. And I was sitting there, and someone started to strike up a conversation. And usually I like to kind of keep to myself. And so as a priest, I've done this before. They'll say, hi, we'll start to chat, and say, what do you do? I say, I'm a Roman Catholic priest. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Usually shuts it down right there. But I was feeling chatty. And so I said, I'm a priest, and they were interested, and we talked a little bit, and they said, what's changed? She asked how long I'd been a priest, and I told her 23 years, and they said, what's changed? They were talking about confession. He said, what's changed about confession? Without hesitation, I said, the internet. In the 22 years that I've been a priest. And with that kind of in my head, when I got home, I hadn't seen a movie in 10 days and was kind of in withdrawal. So I had a three-movie day yesterday. I saw Nuff Said, Prisoners, and the third film I saw is a film called Don John. I don't know if you've seen it. It's by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's really an interesting film, and I only went on the strength of that I liked Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I met him once at Sundance, and he seemed like a really nice guy. So I went to see it not knowing much about the film. And I almost walked out. The story is about this kind of macho Italian guy. Joseph Gordon-Levitt wrote it, directed it, and stars in it. He's a macho guy, New Jersey guy, confident, cocky, handsome, and he tells you in a voiceover in the introduction of the film, I only really care about certain things in my life. I only really care about my body, my ride, my pad, my family, my church, my boys, my girls, and my porn. And you go, what? He flat out says, my porn. And when you get to meet this guy, you see that he spends a lot of time getting his body so that it really looks good. And he spends a lot of time keeping his apartment meticulous. He spends a lot of time keeping his vintage hot rod car perfect. He spends every Sunday with his family. He goes to church at Mass every Sunday. He goes to confession every week. And in his confession, he only confesses two things, ever, every week. How many times that he did impure acts with himself watching pornography, and how many times he did them with other people. That's it. That's his whole confession. And then he has these friends, his boys. They go out every night, and they try to pick up women, and they go to bars, and they talk about women like total objectification. When they see a beautiful woman across the room, they say, look at that, look at that, look at that, 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 that. And the girls, they respond. They go home with them. And it's that after that. But even though he has that in his life, he prefers the pleasure that he gets from his laptop. And he says, it's more convenient. I get exactly what I want. It's cleaner. You don't have to mess with things. It's there. And maybe he makes a case for it. And it goes along just fine until one night he discovers a woman who he's really attracted to. And her name's Barbara, played by Scarlett Johansson. But this woman won't go home with him on the first night. And she kind of leads him along, and they kind of date a little. And he meets her family, and she meets his family, and they do things together. And it really seems to him like she's the love of his life, but still, he sneaks out in the middle of the night to go to the living room to take out his laptop and to go for the porn. He gets caught, and she's furious. She's screaming and yelling, and she doesn't understand, and he truly can't understand why she's upset. You know, it's just this. It's why bother? But his love for her and the kind of trauma that makes him start to question the role that that has in his life. And he starts to look and see the ways that that provides a certain kind of satisfaction, but never, never deep happiness or joy. And so the rest of the movie, and I'm not going to say any more than it. Everything I just said is in the trailer. So you didn't. I did not violate the 11th commandment, thou shalt not give away the end of a movie. And I won't. But this guy, in his confession, now I'm at an age and a point in my vocation where instead of imagining myself in one of the other roles in the film, I think, what would I do if I was the priest? And the priest really wasn't very helpful. The priest always gave him 20 Hail Marys and 20 Our Fathers, and that was it. Basically, the priest enabled him. But I thought, what could the priest have done to really help the guy see? Because when somebody confesses those things, you don't really know what it means without asking a lot of questions. And confession isn't a place to ask a lot of questions, usually. So usually you hope that God knows the answers, and hopefully the person who comes in confessing does. But, you know, those kinds of sins often are a sign of lust, sure, and physical stuff, but often they're a sign of loneliness or a sign of hurt or a sign of laziness. It could be a lot of things. But for Don John, or for John, it just was a symptom of his selfishness, and it was blinding him to life. It was numbing him to the true depths and the true wonders and beauties of life. And that was okay, because it kept him from feeling the sorrows and the hardships too. But in neglecting the hardness, the hard things and the sorrows and the challenging things, he was missing out on so much of life. The gospel today talks about people missing out because they're numb to something. They're not seeing. They're not aware. In the book of Amos, Amos the prophet says, woe to you. And he's talking to people who have fancy houses and who lay around lounging on their couches and they eat rich foods and they order their servants around and they kind of don't pay attention to what's happening outside their house. And even though they're people of means, even though they're people with talents and skills, they don't even see that the world around them is falling apart. They're so comfortable and kind of vaguely pleasured in their food and their parties and their things, that they don't realize that life, is, as they know it, is crumbling down around them. They don't see. They're not seeing. They're numb. And then Dives. Dives is the rich man who dresses in purple robes and has great dinners and sumptuous food and a nice house and doesn't even really notice the person, poor Lazarus, the man with the sores that sits outside the door, probably avoids looking at him, doesn't see him. Doesn't see his need for healing, doesn't see his need for food, doesn't see his need to be accepted. He just doesn't see. His lifestyle, like the pornography in John's lifestyle in the film, numbs him to the point where he ends up in a kind of hell. He ends up where he's isolated from everyone. We are called to see. We are called to be present. We are called to be with people and to have our eyes open. Because if we're not seeing the poor and the sick in our midst, if we're not seeing the reasons for sorrow in our midst, we're probably not seeing other things either. We're probably not seeing the things that are a cause for wonder and are a cause for joy and a cause for hope. We're probably not connecting our life to anything deeper, that deeper thing, the deeper mysteries of life that could be the very purpose that we're longing for. The deeper mysteries of life that could be the great gift that draws us in so that we don't live a vaguely pleasurable life, but we lead a full life, a wonderful life, a gracious life that will have some sad times in it and hard times in it, but is a life that's really worth living because we're connected, we're serving, we're giving, we're putting everything that we have in our means and all our gifts, our talents, at the service of others. And if you know what it's like to do that, you know what, you've done it, I'm sure every one of us here has done that. Isn't that one of the most wonderful things in life? When we've served someone, when we've helped someone, when we've been the best of who we are, and sacrifice for the good of another person in self-giving love. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's so hard to do that, though. It's so hard to not numb ourselves. with food, with pornography, with our lifestyle, with our technology. There's, I don't know if you saw, did anybody see Louis C.K. on Conan O'Brien about a week ago? He was talking about cell phones. I had it on my, it's on my Facebook page if you want to see it. Louis C.K. did this thing. You know, Conan O'Brien said, oh, yeah, the kids have all these smartphones and things. And Louis C.K. said, no, I'm not giving my kids that. They say, well, Dad, we want it. I don't care what you want. I'm not here to give you what you want. I'm here to prepare you for a miserable life. Now, that's Louis C.K. But he said, you know, those cell phones are not good for us. They're not good for kids. He said, they're all going like this. They're all looking like this. And they don't do anything. They don't see, you know, they don't look up. They don't talk to you. They don't engage. He said, and what is it really for adults? He said, what it is it keeps us from facing the sadness of life. He said, all of a sudden you'll be alone, you'll be driving along, and you'll start to feel a little bit of sadness, and I have to text 50 people and say hi. And then, you know, and then one person who's not as cool as another person will text back, but I wait for a cooler person to text me back. And so he said, but you know, one day I was driving, and I was in traffic, and a Bruce Springsteen song came on the radio, and I just felt... I said, I'm going to feel it. And he said, I just felt sad. And I drove off the side of the road, and I just let myself feel sad. And you know what? I was grateful to feel sad. It was wonderful to feel sad. And he said, when you feel sad, there's something about feeling sad that all that sad stuff, well, the happy hormones or the happy antidotes come into your blood, and you start to feel happy, and then you feel real joy. He was onto something, I think. We have to avoid whatever and be conscious of whatever it is that's numbing ourselves. I want to propose three things to try. You probably already do it, but I'm going to say it anyway for whatever it's worth. First thing, this week, find some time for silence. Real silence, not silence listening to music or silence only having the television on in the background. But silence, and just listen. Silence, 5-10 minutes. If you aren't used to it, 5-10 minutes. But just listen. Think what you think, feel what you feel, but be present to whatever comes up. And secondly, I'm sure all of you are going to be with family or friends this week. One of those times when you're with family or friends, commit yourself to totally being with them. Look them in the face. If you eat with them, think of how much you really look at somebody when you eat with somebody. You're like this, you know, and cutting your bread. And then, wow, what are you doing? No, you're looking all over the place. Be with somebody. Look at their face. Look at their mannerisms. Pay attention to if they need more water in their glass. Tend to them and serve them and just be with them. Imagine it's the last time you're going to ever see them. Look at their faces and be with them so that we're in real relationship and not just, it's not just somebody filling in the emptiness or the void. And finally, this week, God is going to call you, the world is going to ask you for something. I want you to be attentive to it and respond as you are called to respond. Doesn't have to, may not be in a big way, maybe in a big way, but be attentive to the world and watch and respond to the world. As I was writing this homily, I was going to Staples in Hollywood, and I was frustrated, and there was traffic and all this stuff. I don't know why I chose that time of day to go try to get something. Besides that, I really heavy in my mind has been a family member who's having a hard time that I have no control over, no power other than I love this person tremendously. And so I'm walking into Staples, and there's a woman sitting on the ground. She says, hey, can you spare any change today, please? And I said, no. And I walked in. I was even kind of annoyed. I walked into Staples, and I heard almost like a voice say, Pharisee, Pharisee. I got my stuff, and the other thing that kept going through my head was, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. It kept going through my head. I'm looking for thumb drives, you know, to buy, and I'm hearing, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. So I stopped, and when I went out, I had a couple dollars. I don't often give money. I don't think usually that's the answer to things, but I stopped and I said, I'm sorry I was rude when I came in, and my name's David, and here's a couple dollars. And then I said, you know, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. I said, you know what? I've got a family member who's really having a hard time. Would you pray for her? And she said, sure. She said, yeah, sure. What's her name? And I told her her name. And we talked a little bit, and she said, my name's Charisse. And again, the whole thing changed when I asked her to pray for my family member. That was the best thing that happened to me last week. Listen for the ways that God calls. Let's not let ourselves be numb. To numb ourselves is to avoid the deepest mysteries of life. And those mysteries, even though they have sorrow, also have the deepest joy and are the source of the most profound peace. They are heaven.